Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start this the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know that you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How she caught me, loves. You're listening to the Max City Morning Show.
Hey everybody, Keith Simpson here from Noral Toyota. Just a quick chat about the wonderful community we live in here. As you guys know, we support the Oil Barons. We've joined the drive-in movie theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and make sure we're taking care of the kids and all the local businesses, all the local charities, and all the local foundations, guys. That's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
And we are back. Sorry, I missed your head nod there, Tanner. Big shout out to Noral Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As you guys know at home, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Okay. Thank you for having me here today.
You are welcome.
My name is Kim Fecto. I've been in the community since 2014.
Okay.
And I'm here today to chat with you about a brand new business that we've launched with some very close friends of ours. And we just want the whole community to hear about this.
Okay.
It's to do with fundraising. So for anyone out there that is doing fundraising, whether it be in schools or athletic clubs, anything, you definitely want to hear more about this.
Okay, so you explained a little bit over the phone, and I think you crushed it. So can you tell everybody at home what this is? Because it's really new, and I've already told a bunch of people about it since we spoke, and it's a really cool concept.
So it's a different concept, yeah. And I started my cold calling last week. We launched on March 8th, so it's not even been a week for us that we've been launched. And I started calling last week, and definitely there's been some interest around it, but for sure people are struggling with understanding the concept because it is brand new.
That's right.
Basically, 15 months ago, a friend of ours was doing some fundraising for their son's grad class.
Right.
And he was having to do it all from, you know, the cookie sales to flowers and all of these things. And by the time he got the orders, purchased the product, did the deliveries, and then saw the return, which was generally speaking, a 20 to 40 cent on the dollar return.
Yeah.
He's like, there's gotta be a better way. There's just gotta be a better way. So his name is Chris Campen, and, actually they took us in the fire. So when we were evacuated, complete strangers. And in 2016, he and his family took our family in, and we lived with them for 2.5 months. And just became lifelong friends. And
Time out. They were strangers to you at the time?
Complete strangers.
How did that, like, sorry for interrupting your story. How does that happen?
So he was a pilot for Canadian North. And he was one of the pilots going back and forth at the start. And he called his wife and said, we've got to do something. And so his wife said, find people with babies and dogs. Because they'll have a hard time, you know, we want them to be comfortable, and anybody with dogs will have a hard time finding places. So it turns out that very close friends of mine ended up on that plane, and they went back to Chris and Jen's house and kept saying, we want to help more, we want to help more, we want to help more. And so my friend reached out to me and said, there's this family, and they live on a farm, and they want to help. So I was obviously a little apprehensive, and so they invited us to their school, their elementary school. They live in a little farm community, and the elementary school was hosting a barbecue for the Fort McMurray Fire families.
Yeah.
And honestly, I felt like I was on an interview. Like, I was so stressed out, the kids and I and Nathan, and we at the time we had a Bernese Mountain Dog, and we came, you know, rolling out of the truck and nervous to meet them because it felt do or die to us. With this Bernese Mountain Dog, we just couldn't find anybody that would take us hotels. We were paying $400 a night for an Airbnb to stay at. And anyway, we moved in the next day.
Fantastic.
And stayed with them and became lifelong friends. The kids got along great. The school welcomed our kids. And so now we're partnering with them.
Okay. So, yeah, let's get back on that. Thank you for the elaboration. What a great story. And big shout out to that couple.
Yeah,
wow.
Jen and Chris Campen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Chris approached us 15 months ago and said there's got to be a better way. And he had this idea of a concept. And he sat with us for like 20 minutes. And both Nathan and I, my husband and I, were like, yeah, we need to definitely look into this more.
Right.
And they, you know, he had us sold. And so the concept is this. It's called Streamline Fundraising. We have a web portal that's linked to an app that is an e-sport golf game.
Right.
Okay? It's a closest to the pin golf game. So what you would do as an organization is you would buy a package. We have six different packages from $1,000 all the way up to $10,000.
Right.
So whatever your organization wants to raise, you would actually pick one of those packages. Depending on the size of the package would depend on how many tickets we send you.
Right.
So let's use the $1,000 fundraiser. An organization wants to raise $1,000.
Yes.
They would buy the $1,000 package. It costs approximately $670 to buy this package.
Right.
So then what we would do is we would send you enough tickets that would get you $1,000, which at $10 a piece, so that is 100 tickets.
Right.
Plus we're going to send you enough to cover your fee, around 71 additional tickets. So you get 171 tickets.
Yeah.
That your organization would sell.
Then
what would happen is we would put those tickets together. The tickets are all personalized. And so, for example, the the Holy Trinity grad class wants to do a fundraiser. It would actually say on it, Holy Trinity grad class. And it would be very personalized. And the tickets would show up to the fundraiser manager's doorstep.
That's right.
And the sellers would sell these $10 tickets. That's and what the ticket has is a scratch and play code that they scratch the ticket, they scan the QR code, they enter the 8-digit code, and they have access to this e-sport golf game where they play closest to the pin. And they compete against the people buying those 171 tickets to win first, second, or third.
Because we spoke, there's always something going on, maybe or basketball or from his school, and a lot of the time, like, you're gonna give the money.
Yes,
you're gonna give 100%. The money. That being said, I'm buying gift wrapping paper sometimes or chocolates that I don't like really eat, and you're just buying things that to support.
Right.
And so this is a great idea because I get a support.
Yep.
By giving my money, I don't have something that I don't want or I'm not going to use.
Right.
And who doesn't love to play a game on their cell phones? I'm addicted to them, like I think the population is. And so you get an opportunity to play a game, potentially win, and give back to whatever charity or fundraiser you're doing. And then you're done.
Exactly. And I did highlight that it is a 60 to 80% return versus the 20 to 40% return. So for every dollar you make, you're getting between 60 and 80 cents back.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you're monitoring all from this web portal. So as soon as you create that login and you upload your organization, you're running the fundraiser from that online portal. And the game is linked to that online portal. So you are seeing day by day, you know, who's played the ticket, all of those things.
Right.
Yeah. It's very cool. One of the things that I got asked during my cold calling last week was around gambling. Because churches, you know, they need to do fundraisers. The Catholic School Board, they want to do fundraisers. Because this is an esports competition, this does not fall under gambling.
Right.
And you're developing a skill. So what we do on this app is when you upload and enter that code, you're given tutorials on this is how you play it, this is here some recommendations, et cetera, et cetera. You get to choose your iron, you get to choose the winds, the strength of the swing, and when you swing.
Right.
So you're developing a skill. You get three chances to practice, and then on your fourth swing, that's what you're ranked at, and you're immediately ranked. You see on the app if you rank, if there's 171 tickets and 150 people played, it'll say you rank 10th or whatever whatever that is.
Better luck next time.
Right, exactly.
But that's cool, though, because in with that model, in regards to showing your rank right away, if I swing and I'm like, ah, crap, that was a crappy swing, I want to play again.
100%.
You know right there. Or if, like, I'm in second place, you're like, forget that nonsense, I'm going for first. You call up, hey, I need another one of those tickets.
Yep. That's exactly. So we did game testing. We had 500 tickets.
Cool.
And we reached out to some family and friends because we had to do a lot of testing on the app, on the game itself.
Yeah.
And every single person that played was like, I want another ticket.
That's
they
right.
wanted to of try course. And compete against their person in the room with them
That's
or
right.
a friend that was in another province.
That's right.
So they really had a good time with the competitive side of it. Like I would imagine setting it up like at a hockey tournament, for example, and you've got a booth set up there and you want to run a $5,000 fundraiser. So you have approximately, say, 600 tickets that you have to sell.
Yeah.
A whole weekend.
Yeah.
With people competing against each other.
100%.
I feel like 600 tickets would go pretty fast with with a competitive spirit.
That's
for sure.
Right. Any kind of event.
Like hockey, any kind of event.
Basketball, whatever. Even like a not-for-profit that isn't sports-oriented. Like our office is a little bit different, but most offices that you go into, like they have the chocolate up front and like the peanuts set there. Hey, my kid is selling these raffle tickets.
Right.
Buy these chocolate-covered whatever.
Right.
And you're just like, yeah, okay. And then this scenario is just like, yeah, somebody brings it into the office and like, hey, buy these tickets. You can play this game.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good concept. So in regards to the game itself, did you guys create the game and have to get like a web developer to help you create that? Or were you able to like purchase something that you were able to utilize?
We did this from scratch.
Really?
It's a whole new concept. So we reach out to a few web developers to, you know, see who... you know, had some bids and things.
Yeah.
And we've been working with an organization called 24/7 Labs out of Toronto.
Okay.
And they've been fantastic. And and we've worked with them on developing the whole thing, the whole egg to plate service. Like we've been investing our heart and soul into this concept.
So it's been 15 months, you said.
15 months. Yep. Start to finish.
Mm-hmm. Right on. And so I know, like we spoke, was it Thursday of last week, give or take? How have the calls been going for you? Like, how's the reception been?
So what we're finding is that a lot of organizations have to go back to a board or, you know, that sort of thing. So we're not getting any solid interest per se or people signing up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to get ahead of it. We're right now we're doing a lot of research on when do registrations happen for organizations and things like that and hope to connect with them before registration so that they have this concept in mind.
Yeah.
So we are, not going to lie, we are struggling with that a little bit. I did call every single elementary school last Friday.
Okay.
And the gatekeepers are very strong gatekeepers.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
And I value that because... you know, I've had jobs before. I've had to be a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
And so, you know, trying to make sure that they understand this concept and how valuable it is to make sure that it doesn't, when they're forwarding an email that I send to the teachers and staff, that the teachers aren't just be like, oh, more spam, delete, right? I'm struggling with getting an audience or getting my foot in the door to have these kind of conversations so they understand the benefit of this. Because it's new.
That's right.
It's completely different.
But it's such a good idea, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good concept. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When we're done, I'll hit you up with a bunch of contacts that I think you could reach out to.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
So prior to this, you've been in the community a long time. Mm-hmm. What different hats have you worn in the community?
So when I first moved here in 2014, I worked for an organization called Careers the Next Generation, and I was the field director for the co-op apprenticeship program.
Right.
So to this day, I'm surprised that they hired me, seeing
that
I was brand new to the community.
Yeah.
I really didn't know much about trades at all.
Right.
Within a few weeks, I had no choice but to integrate myself into the community and, you know, introduce myself to the high schools and employers and students and learn the trades, learn at least what was involved with getting a trade so I could inspire the youth in the community to even show interest in the trades. So that was fun. I did that for about 2.5 years. And then I actually worked for the library, and I was the rural services coordinator. So I was out in all of the rural communities weekly to deliver programs there to all ages. It'd be, you know, daycare, seniors, in the schools. I was very prominent in the schools. And worked with the library to, at the time, they had already been in the process of launching the mobile library, but I got to participate in that where, you know, I got to drive the library van around, which was super cool. And also put mini libraries in each community. A lot of them had already been established, but, you know, just keeping up with that.
Yeah.
I also enjoyed that. So my heart is with the community. My heart is with the especially like nonprofit and mm-hmm. sports. I'm a mom. I have kids that came up through elementary school and high school. They were in sports and things like that. Mm-hmm. I know what fundraising and what's involved, the volunteering that's involved in that.
Yeah.
So that, and I've been with another organization, more of a corporate organization
as of late,
there as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Not exactly. A bad thing. Very no. cool. Very cool. Well, listen, I've got lots of questions for you, but Tanner tapped his phone. So that means he has his questions ready for the Max City Minute. That being said, before we get into that, we have a sponsor called Patchouli Rose. Carrie, take it away.
Hi, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose Herbal Apothecary. I know our summer is coming quickly to an end. And during the summer, we always think of applying our sunscreen. But sunscreen is a product that we should be using every day of the year to protect our skin against harmful UVA and UVB rays, also against premature aging. I have a product called Dandelion Harvest, which is moisturizing, anti-inflammatory, and is great for anti-aging. You can use this every day of the year, and it's very moisturizing. If you want to check this product and any of my other products out, please go to patchoulirose.com.
And we are back. Thank you, Carrie from Patchouli Rose. We do appreciate your ongoing support. Tanner, hit her with the Max City Minute.
Alrighty, question number one for you today. What is the most interesting company you've gotten to work with in your new fundraising venture?
The most interesting company, I would say it's, at this point in time, it would be the developers. Mm-hmm. Going through that process was incredible. Even, you know, everything from our logo design to what's on the website, how the game works, all of the testing, naming the golf courses, like we got to do it all. And I would say that that for sure has been the fun part.
Cool. Yeah.
Question number two, what is your favorite part of helping so many people fundraise money for their different causes?
I think it's to make it easier and give them more money for how hard they're working. Because they're getting so much return on this particular concept, it means more time with their family and friends, more time in the organization doing what matters, whatever that is in that organization, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's the thing that I'm going to value most about helping anybody that's interested in streamlined fundraising is that it's just going to keep giving for sure.
There you go.
Question number three. What is one event in Fort McMurray people may be shocked to know you enjoy going to?
Event. This is going to sound cheesy, but it's always the parades.
Which parade?
The Christmas parade, because I'm Christmas at heart. But I don't know why I, like, cry at parades. I love parades. And if there's bagpipes, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. So I would say it's that for sure. The parades. I just value the parades for sure.
That's adorable. I love it. Great answer.
Question number four. What was your favorite moment from your time in Fort Chip?
My time in Fort Chip. Well, the community in and itself is awesome. The flights. I think the flights in and itself is always an adventure. Again, I have to say, I loved all of my time in Fort Chip, but the cab driver, and his name is not coming to me right now.
He knows who he is.
He knows who he is.
Yeah.
But I always felt so welcomed because he knew me by name and asked about the family, and, you know, I'd bring him bagels. He loved blueberry bagels. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed my conversations. I would always learn something new about Fort Chip on the to and from the school.
Right.
But, I mean, being in the schools with the youth, for sure. And I remember one little boy, I had been going there for a couple of years, and dead serious looks right at me, and he's like, Kim, I just really appreciate that you've been so consistent in here all the time.
Aww.
And so, like, I mean, I could cry thinking about that now, but, like, that really spoke to my heart because, you know, you felt like you belong there and you were just so welcomed, for sure. I mean, the staff at the school is fantastic and the restaurant that's there and stuff,
And your final question, what do you think is the best bag of chips when you're feeling snackish?
All chips? For sure. Roast chicken. It brings me back to my Saturday night bingos. I'm from Nova Scotia at Delory Brothers with my grandmother. My grandma would go after church. That's a super Catholic thing.
Yeah.
We would go to church on Saturday night and on the way home, stop at bingo, and I would get a bag of roast chicken chips, which was a treat.
Yeah.
That would have been in the 80s and like, it's a big deal when you get treats in the 80s.
Yeah.
And a Mars chocolate bar.
Okay.
For sure, that's some nostalgic memories there.
And those have been your five questions.
So what brand of chip?
Gosh, was it Lay's?
Yeah, Lay's does them now.
Yeah, I don't know who did them then.
Yeah.
Because you just only tried the Lay's. See them once in a while around here.
Yeah, they're 100%. Limited edition.
They're limited edition. Sure.
I think they're seasonal.
Are they? Because they were not in the 80s. They were always at Delory Brothers Bank.
Right.
I mean, maybe they just stocked up. I'm not really sure. Okay. And to be honest with you, that's like I grew up in this tiny little community. That would probably be the only day of the week I'd ever get chips anyway. I couldn't tell you if they were even at other stores.
Right.
But yeah.
That's awesome.
And I think they're usually in like the Newfoundland aisle at the grocery store. Like there's an actual Newfoundland aisle at some grocery stores, and that's where you would typically find them.
Yeah.
That and the Crush.
That's right.
The Crush. Yeah.
Me and my son have a tradition on the last day of school every week. We go to a corner store and we try treats we've never had before. Mm-hmm. And then we watch Gargoyles afterwards. So
okay.
It's a great tradition. But I just tried for the first time in my life oven roasted chips maybe 6 weeks ago. Because I was like, oven roasted chips? What are these? And he's just like, I don't know. So they were delicious.
Oh, they're so salty and they're so delicious.
There you
almost
go.
Like a broth.
Yeah.
Like they taste like
chicken
a salty broth. Chicken broth. Yeah, yeah. And they're really yummy.
They really are. Okay. Well, listen, Tanner tapped his watch. So that means we are out of time for today's episode. That being said, before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. Fun.
Okay. Shout out to them. Always so supportive, especially if anybody trying to do Chris and Jen. I definitely want to do it. They've just been a real blessing in our life. So
there we go. Awesome. Well, for McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. Thank you very much for tuning in. It does mean the world to me. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Thank you both for your ongoing support. I hope everybody at home is having a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.